Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started now that I got my technology all set. So we're going to open, as always, with prayer. We're just going to open with prayer. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. That's one of our visuals. I need to turn up my mic. I'm going to go ahead and just start praying. Lord, we thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord. And we do thank you for, as a little girl said, fellowship, that we can fellowship and we can talk together and we can love on each other and encourage each other, Lord. So we just thank you because that comes through your spirit, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, Lord God, that comes when we accept you into our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would help us today, Lord, as we go forward in our lesson. Lord, again, we pray that we would decrease and you would increase, Lord God. It is a day, it is a season where that must be real in our lives, Lord God, that we are seeing you increasing in our lives and we're seeing ourselves decrease, our agendas decreasing, Lord God, our wills decreasing, Lord God. Oh, Lord, our emotions decreasing, Lord God. And Lord, letting your spirit move and rule in our lives, Lord. So we pray these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And we are continuing with our lesson, The Way, the Truth, and the Life. I think there's two more handouts over there if anybody needs a handout. We did the introduction last week, and we talked about just the different aspects of the way, the truth, and the life. And the theme of this lesson we talked about is purpose. Boy, and I can't think of a better theme than we need as we begin a new year is purpose. And what is this all about? So last week we talked about just breaking down the way, the truth, and the life into its three aspects of Jesus being the only way, of he being the only truth. And that's the thing about truth is that truth has backing and truth has power and truth cannot be buried. You know, truth is going to keep rising to the top over and over again. We gave the example about when you try to do something other than truth, a lie is like walking on a paper bridge over an abyss. You can get on that paper bridge if you want to, but the law, the truth of gravity says you are going to go through that paper and fall to your death. So the thing about a lie is that it doesn't hold up, but truth has power behind it. And also his life, the way that Christ is the life, and we're going to really break down that piece on the life. One of my favorite aspects of this is in life, just talking about biology and different things like that. So we're going to go into the next segment of our lesson, which is knowing this name. And in your handout, there's a quote from Charles Spurgeon that says, the world is just a materializing of God's thoughts. And everything in this majestic temple he has made has meaning. Let me read that again. The world is just a materializing of God's thoughts. And everything in this majestic temple he has made has meaning. You have meaning. You have purpose. Again, I just want you to keep that theme in your mind about purpose, folks. I don't care what your life is. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care what your situation is. You have purpose on the planet. So we're going to start again, just like we did last week. We're going to break down knowing this name, starting with the way. So let's break this down. Your first comment on there says, under the way, it says, in knowing this name, the way, the truth, and the life, we must begin with a recognition of who Christ is. Once again, we must turn to the altar of humility, where we lay down our ideas, our abilities, and our agendas to seek in seeking the purpose of life. Humankind has struggled to answer this question for millennia. Why are we here? We ask it all the time. Every generation asks it. Why are we here? Why am I here? Why am I here? Because see, the people are committing suicide because they don't know why they're here. So you ask the question, why am I here? The beginning of the answer to these questions is humility. Many ask these questions but are not willing to receive the answer because of their pride. Folks, you know, we always come back to humility and we always come back to pride. You know, as Andrew Murray said when we did our study on humility, Andrew Murray said, every human sin, you can track it all the way back to pride every single time. And if you want to test that theory, test it out. Any sin that you see, it'll be traced right back to pride every time. That's where we fell in the garden. So pride keeps blinders on our minds so that we will not receive what the Lord is saying to us. On the outside, we may show a face of seeking the way, but on the inside, our hands are over our ears, refusing to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, which is, this is the way, walk in it. On the outside, oh Lord, Lord, come into my life. But on the inside, you're saying, your ears are covered. You don't want to hear what he has to say because it's going to mess with your pride. It's going to call you to the altar of humility. And we don't want to do that. You know, when I see people going, we keep going to the altar over and over, just pray for me, pray for me. Many times when you're going back with the same thing, same thing, same thing, it's because I don't want to do it. And I'm hoping God will change his mind about that. So if I come down next Sunday, maybe, when the Spirit of the Lord is saying, this is the way, walk in it. And can I give you a memo from God? He's not changing his mind, okay? He is not changing his mind. His word will stand yesterday. It's going to stand today. And it's going to stand tomorrow. He's not changing his mind. But you have to be able to hear or want to hear. The next point says, because God blessed us with higher brain function and with free will, we are susceptible to trying to figure out the way, the truth, and the life ourselves. He gave us this wonderful combination of this higher brain functioning and free will. So we're going to be up there trying to figure it out ourselves, figuring out the way, the truth, and the life ourselves. But as we discover what God has created, we have become arrogant, thinking we will eventually find a truth outside of God. But there is none. There is none. He is the way. It amazes me how arrogant we can be in science and different things like that. I heard people say, I don't believe in God. I believe in science. What does that mean? You're just describing what God created. So how in the world are you going to believe in what he created and not believe in him? That's what it is. But we get arrogant in our thinking. When there are discoveries by humans, seeing a star for the first time in the heavens, or breakthroughs in medicine, or words of wisdom to humanity, discoveries of plants and animals, we turn around and we give the awards to humans. I'm not knocking the Nobel Prize. I'm not knocking Pulitzer Prize. I'm glad that they allowed the Lord to use them and walk through them to show us stuff.
That's right.
But my goodness, you didn't discover it. It was already there.
That's right.
But we, you know, if you think about that, we give the award and the prizes to humans when the praise and the honor belongs to the way, the one that put it there in the first place. But again, we have the blinders on our mind. We don't want to hear that. I want to take the credit for seeing that star first. Really, the star? You had nothing to do with that star being up there, but yet I want to take the credit. In fact, I'm going to name the star after me because I saw it first. I saw it first. Amazing. If we use that mentality on the planet for stuff, well, I saw this first, so therefore I'm going to name it. I saw, you know, no one's out here and I saw your car, so I'm just going to say, hey, that's my car. I'm just going to say that's my car because I saw it. There's nobody out here to see it, so I saw it. That's how much logic sense that makes. We really got to get this in perspective, who God is. And it's going to start, as I said again, at the altar of humility. He must increase and we must decrease if we are going to get this issue on the way. The next point says the way will always lead you to the truth and the life. Do you understand? If you embrace the way, you will get to the truth and you will get to the life. He is the way out. He is the way up. He is the way in and he is the way through. He is the way. After mankind has turned over every rock, scoured every ocean, climbed every mountain, and put everything in nature under a microscope, we will discover that Christ is the way. Again, I said science just describes what God has already done. The next point says, I believe this is why God gave us both higher function and free will, so that we could eventually come to him exhausted with our efforts and toils to prove his non-existence and finally recognize that Jesus is Lord and the way. Exhausted, like I've tried. Many have tried to disprove God. Many have tried to prove that there is no way for humanity. They try to prove God doesn't exist. They try to prove it over and over again. But they all have failed. And some, even as they try to prove that God didn't exist, came to embrace the way in their efforts to prove he didn't exist. And before you know it, they're over there preaching on the corner too. Oh, yeah. Because you can't disprove the way. I don't know if any of you saw that movie, God's Not Dead 2, but they had an example of a guy. He said, listen, I tried, and now I'm a believer. I believe. You cannot disprove the way. He is the way. There are not many ways. And we talked about the logic. If you just look at it logically, if God is a creator, why would there be other ways to the creator other than the way that meant something to God? Christ meant something to God. That's why he's the way, and you can't come to him by any other means. You can't come to him by bulls and goats. You can't buy him off. He can just speak and fill a room with gold. He can just speak and there are bulls and a cattle on 1,000 hills. So how in the world is humanity going to get back to God except by something that means something to God? And that was his son, Jesus Christ. That meant something to him. And that's why Jesus is the only way for humanity to be reconciled. Do you see the logic in that? You see why all this other stuff that we worship and get into doesn't make any sense? They're just distractors. Don't be distracted. Be focused on the way. We talked about the picture that's in your handout about the cross over the abyss and how on the other side there's like a narrow way. The artist was really great in depicting all of the things in this picture. On the other side, you see how the way is broad on the one side of the cross, it's broad on the other side. You got to go by way of the cross, and then it's narrow. As Jesus said, narrow is the way. So we can't let ourselves be distracted. Even after we have come by way of the cross, sometimes we can park. We get distracted and we become stagnant. And that's why we're talking about purpose. What's your purpose? So you don't want to be stagnant, but you want to remember that Jesus Christ is the way. The next point says the title "the way" as used in the Bible comes from the Greek word hodos. Everything from a major roadway to a tiny footpath is encompassed in this word. This is from our book. Christ plowed out a path through sin for us with his own blood to be our way, our hodos, in any situation, in a tight place, in the tempting place, in a deep place, in a dry place, in the wilderness or a lost place. Christ remains the way. He remains your hodos. you are never without a way of out of anything. Because he said, now if Karen said, you might have to worry, but he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said that. That's why he is the way. That's why you always have a way out. But you must not get distracted, people. Children of God, don't get distracted. Stay focused. You must learn how to subdue your emotions and subdue your pride so that you can stay on the way. Because I tell you, nothing knocks us off more than our emotions and our pride. Those two top things. One fuels the other. And it'll knock us off the way. The next point says, as the way, Christ also serves as our ever-present guide, stationed at every point en route to God's promises or God's purposes for his children. And again, this is from the book. In every sense of the word, he is our way. Don't let anyone or anything steal away your hodos. I like that word. It just has something behind it. Hodos. You know, my way. He is my way. Don't let anybody or anything, don't let money, power, status, nothing steal away your hodos, your way. Amen. Your way to eternal life, your way to deliverance, your way out, your way through, your way up. Don't get distracted by what's going on. Because anytime you're in a situation, yes, all that stuff is on its high. When I'm in a situation, my emotions want to get high, all up there. My pride gets in the way because how dare they? But stay, keep your hodos. Boy, I'm on the hollowed part already. You know, the hollow holding. So all that encompasses the way. He is our hodos. He is our way. We don't move off to all these other ways. We look at him as our way. In every situation, you bring the way in. You bring the way into the meeting. You bring the way into when you're going to buy a vehicle. You bring the way in when you're buying a house. You bring the way in. Your hodos in with you. You don't park it at the door. Again, please don't get caught up in your skill set and your education and your degree and your experience. I got to lay that on the table. Your experience. Because some of us think I got experience. Bring hodos. Bring your hodos in there with you. Because the enemy's got more experience than you ever could have. He's been at this for millions of years. And he's got some new stuff for you if you don't bring the way in with you. He's the only one that trumps the experience of the enemy. So that's the way, folks. Now let's move on to the truth. Amen. What is truth? Good question. What is truth? Humankind has asked this question from generation to generation. What is truth? One aspect of truth is that it endures through time. The poet proclaimed, 2,000 years have come and gone, and he remains the central figure of the human race, Jesus Christ. Amen. He endures through time. That is one aspect of truth. Truth does not fade with time, but remains relevant from father to son, from mother to daughter, from generation to generation, truth remains. Some of us got all kind of hidden secrets in our families and stuff like that. You know, truth that you're trying to just keep that on the down low. So afraid that some truth is going to come out because truth does that. Truth remains. It doesn't go away. You know, I used to wonder, this truth issue is the thing that actually helped me to make my decision for Christ. Because I was trying to figure out this Christianity thing. I grew up in it and heard it, but you know, when I became of age, I was like, you know, I don't know if mom and daddy really knew it. You know, they're just, you know, they old. You know, they don't know what's happening in the world today. But you know, one thing I couldn't get away from is how this Christianity has lasted all these years. With this word of God that is so, it has so much stuff in it that you're supposed, how in the world did this Christianity thing last so long? And why are there so many people following it? That's what really got me. I'm like, I know mom and daddy's mom and daddy, but what's with the rest of the people? All these testimonies I hear, you know, they were this way and now Jesus came and all of a sudden they're this way. And you know, that got me. Because truth. There was something true about it that I couldn't shake. I couldn't get away from it. The evidence was all around me. The truth was all around me. So I couldn't just ignore it. I wanted the truth. I did. I wanted the truth. I remember years ago looking out my dorm room. I had left home. I was in college looking out my dorm room. I said, I just looked at the sky. I said, now, Lord, I'm on my own now. I said, now, if you're real, you're going to have to show me that you're real. You know, and he did. He showed me. Don't stray, baby girl. Don't stray. Mom and daddy knew what they were talking about. The next point says the relevance of Jesus as the truth is made clear when we come to understand the effects that the liar, the opposite of the truth, has had on us. Satan is the father of lies. We fell when we acted on a lie. We live in strife based on lies. We kill and destroy because of lies. Therefore, only the truth can set us free. We fell in the garden because of a lie. A lie, and then the pride came in there. You know, if you take it, you'll be just like God. That's why he doesn't want you to have it, because you'll be just like him. Well, we're still waiting. I'm not like him. I don't know about you, but I am not like him yet. Because it was a lie that was told to humanity. And you've got to understand. You can understand the relevance of the truth when you see the impact of the lie. That lie sent us into a turmoil. That's what lies do. Lies send you into a turmoil as opposed to the truth that will set you free. The next point is from John 8. We're going to read this passage from John 8, 28 through 32. And it says, so Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man on the cross, you will know then without any doubt that I am he. Without any doubt that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but I say these things just as my Father taught me. And he who sent me is always with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what pleases him. As he said these things, many believed in him. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word continually, obeying my teachings and live in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples. Let me say that again. If you abide in my word, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. Boy, there's a lot in there. So let's just break this down a little bit. It says, the next your point under here says, as we explore this passage, we see an important truth about Christ as the truth. He understood as he taught the people that some would have doubts until after he carried out his Father's plan on the cross. They would listen, you know, and you know they had doubt because they all these people following Jesus, he fed 5,000 people listening to him preach. And then when he got arrested, where were they? Where were they? Because, you know, it sounded good. The Bible sounds kind of good, but I'm not sure I'm ready to lay down my life for this thing. You know, that's the way. He knew they had doubts. He knew they would not believe until he carried out his Father's plan on the cross. There is an obedience in truth, a follow-through that brings enlightenment to the doubtful heart. Because Jesus was the truth. He was going to be obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. A part of the doubtful heart wants to believe, but it is blocked by darkness. That's the doubtful heart. It wants to believe. You know, that's why the doubtful heart is different than a disbelieving heart. A disbelieving heart has just totally rejected it. But a doubtful heart wants to believe it, but there's some darkness there where I can't quite get to the other side of where I need to be to see truth. Truth enduring through suffering and ridicule forges through to the light that arrests the darkness to set the doubtful heart free. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, I know you guys have got to see me go through this. You've got to see me submit myself. You've got to see me hang on that cross. And you've got to see the resurrection before you believe. Even his disciples. Poor Peter. Talking all his junk. Peter was talking. They may leave you, but I'm not leaving you. I'm staying by your side. Oh, you're not going to wash my feet because you're the Lord. Peter just talking. But even in his heart. So don't go by the person that's the loudest in the room, because sometimes there's still some stuff going on there. But Jesus is faithful. See, truth follows through. Truth follows through pain, through humiliation. Truth followed through to arrest the darkness. See, that's why you go through some stuff. That's why even people are lying on you, doing all kinds of things. You're going through because some doubtful heart is watching you, seeing if this truth thing, this Jesus thing you're talking about is real. Because my Jesus, the Jesus I'm serving, he went through. He went through all the way to the end. He didn't say, you know, forget this cross issue. I was going to be, you know, stripped down and humiliated. No. He saw it all the way through. Will you? Will you? Or will you fly off the handle the first time somebody says something to you? I'm telling you, we have to come to the altar of humility if we're going to be in the truth like he is in the truth. See, this is his example. He said, you're not going to believe until you see me go all the way through. And some people are watching you until you go all the way through. You can arrest that darkness in people around you because they'll see you go through and see it through to the end, that you'll lose things, that you'll keep your mouth shut, that you'll do these things. And then, oh my goodness, you know, this has got to be true because I know that she wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have done that had it not been true. There's been a change in them because I remember the day when they would have. Truth follows through. That's why I put this picture up here. I hope you can see it. But it's a picture of Jesus allowing Thomas to stick his finger in the wound. Because Thomas said, if somebody can get the light, can somebody, the light switch is right there on the wall and we can see it a little better. There's several light switches in a row. If you can just get one of those. Okay, can you see it better now? Okay, you can turn it. You can keep it off for a second. Can you turn the other one off? I mean, yeah, you had it good before. Yeah, we're going to turn it back on in a second. But if you can see Thomas, I thought that was such a great depiction. Even though we know that Thomas it seemed like the Bible was describing as he saw the wound. But until I stick my finger, he said, into your wound, I will not believe. And some of us are like this. We got to see it first. Let me see before I believe. But this is Jesus showing I followed through with what my Father told me to do. I followed through and now I have been resurrected. Now do you believe? Because some of us are like that. Now you believe. You can turn the lights on. Thank you. We have to stick our finger in the wound before we will believe him. But I'm telling you, truth follows through. The next point says, recall the Pharisee Nicodemus. He came to Jesus at night so that he would not be seen, for there was doubt in his heart. This is where Jesus imparted to him a truth that has reverberated throughout human history. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life. So even though he came with a doubtful heart, man, he ran into Jesus and Jesus imparted truth to him. This famous John 3:16 scripture was one of the greatest truths that we have held to throughout human history. Although Nicodemus heard this truth, it was not until Jesus completed his work on the cross that this truth dissipated the doubt in the heart of Nicodemus and many others, just as Jesus, the truth, said it would in John 8:28. You're not going to believe it until. You know, it's just amazing because Jesus didn't have to go through. He's like, well, forget y'all. Y'all don't believe I'm the Son of God. Forget y'all. I'm going back to heaven. I can create a new planet. Okay, some new people, if you don't believe. But he didn't. Isn't that something? With all of our doubts and all of our issues, he still followed through because truth does that. Truth doesn't throw up their hands and walk away. Truth follows through. If God has just put something in your heart, you can believe it. He follows through. The next point says, the word of God is truth, and it has come under fire, ridicule, and has been attacked by lies countless times, but it continues to endure. Isn't that something? The word of God, the Bible, continues to be perpetually on the New York Times bestseller list right here. New York Times bestseller right here has not changed since there was a New York Times. Bestseller right here. In spite of all the things that have been said, all the contradictions, all the everything that has been said, people are still buying it. Because it's truth. John Grisham's going to come and go. Tom Clancy coming and going. But Jesus and his word, the Holy Bible, oh, it's staying up there on the bestseller list. Because it's truth, folks. It is truth. It continues to come shining through in human history as truth. Do not fret over human laws and legislation based on a lie, for it will eventually reveal itself to the world as a detriment and bondage. So don't fret, folks. Walk in the way. Don't fret over legislation. Don't fret over what's happening. You know, I'm like, stay in the way. Amen. It will show itself. A lie always shows itself. Just as Christ, the truth, will continue to reveal himself as the one who sets us free. Amen. As the one who sets us free. He will continue to reveal himself. It's happening all over the world, folks. And some of the nations that used to outlaw the Bible, man, revival is breaking out. Yes. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I'm amazed, you know, at some of the things that I just see. I'm just glad for the ability for us to communicate and see things. As I said, all over Africa, South Africa, man, praising God, revival breaking out. I'm like, oh my goodness, in Muslim nations and all, I mean, just revival. Breaking out because the truth cannot be buried. Even when countries outlawed the Bible, there were believers that risked their lives to bring it in because it was truth. They risked their lives to bring in the truth because truth has something behind it. Truth has power. So they were willing, hey, listen, I'm going to risk my life for this because this got power behind it. Power to protect me. Power to keep me. You know, if you ever get a chance to read Corrie ten Boom's story, she brought those Bibles in, man. Oh, my goodness. Her book called The Hiding Place. It'll bless your socks off. Because the truth, I'm telling you, the truth will keep you hidden in Christ with this. Yeah, she went through a lot. You got to read her story. It's an amazing story. But people would die for the truth because there is power that substantiates the truth, even on the other side of death, even if they die. Do you understand me? Yeah. Truth will traverse the abyss of death and still be on the other side of this thing. So you better hope that when you traverse to the other side, that you have the truth on your side. You want to hope you have the truth on your side, because the truth has already gone over the abyss of death and will carry you in its arms to the other side. So we want to be sure that we are living and holding and embracing that which endures. The next segment says, do not worry because of evildoers, nor be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust, rely on, and have confidence in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed securely on his faithfulness. Hallelujah. That's just a hallelujah right there. I have no other comment but hallelujah on that one. I tell you. And again, it just goes back to the truth enduring, the way being the way, and the truth enduring. Amen. You don't have to be worried and fretting over what everybody else is doing and what's going on, man. That truth is going to come shining through every time. Truth gives, I'm going to give comments in just a second, okay? Just hold that comment. The truth gives each phase of life validity and meaning, because of the promises of truth cannot fail. Let me read that again. Truth gives each phase of life validity and meaning because the promises of truth cannot fail. Simply stated, Christ is the way to navigate life's pathways, and that is truth! Exclamation point. Hallelujah. When so many lies are being perpetuated, encouraged, and promoted, hold to the truth, people. Hold to the truth. I know there are lies all around you. I know you get disgusted. I know you get frustrated. But hold to the truth and his way. Okay? Don't let your frustration get you off the way. Remember I said you can't defend God in the spirit of his enemy? Okay? You can't defend God in hate. You can't defend God in strife. You got to defend God in the way, in faith, and in prayer, and walking in his word. That's how you defend God, by letting them see that truth in you. So don't get off the path. Next point, it talks about Saul of Tarsus sought to kill the truth in the early church. He had the might of soldiers and the letter of the law behind him, but then he met the truth on the road to Damascus, and the truth knocked him off his horse, blinded him, and then ministered to him, and then set him free and changed his life forever. Okay, see, that's what the truth. See, the truth, I don't know about you, but the truth has knocked me off my horse a time or two, okay? I needed to be knocked off my horse a time. The truth knocked me off my horse so that he could minister to me. Oh, God, he didn't blind me, but my goodness. I'm glad I wasn't that rock-headed that he had to blind me too for a few days. But he will minister to you, and he'll set you free, and he'll change your life forever. The truth commented to Saul at that moment on the Damascus road, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." That's what the truth said to him. "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." That's from Acts 9:5. When you fight against the truth, you are kicking against the pricks. Let me say that again. When you fight against the truth, you are kicking against the pricks. That's why the pricks, they're like the pricks in a thorn bush. Those pricks are pricks on a rose bush. It's like kicking a rose bush with a bare foot. No, you better not do that. Because before that rose bush goes down, man, your foot is going to be all bloodied. I tell you that right now. And that rose bush, even if you might kick off a branch, that branch coming right back with its pricks. And that's why the atheists have a hard way to go, folks.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And I think that's why they're so mad.
Yeah.
That's why they're so angry. They're kicking against the pricks and ouch, ouch, ouch. Because you can't tear it down. Everywhere you go, it's there. Everywhere you go. You know, it is one of them believers. One of them born-agains. Everywhere you go. You know, because I'm thinking about, you know, and I'm just thinking about the atheists. I think about them sometimes. I'm like, okay, what's the issue? Because even if you don't believe there's a God, if you just look at Christianity, if you just look at them, look at those Christians and the things that they do on the earth. Of all the people groups on the planet, Christians give more than any other people group.
Yes.
They give to charities, they support charities, they volunteer more than any other people group on the planet are Christians. I'm not trying to boast. I'm just talking about the truth. I'm talking about Jesus in us.
Yes.
I'm not talking about us as a people. I'm talking about Jesus changing people so that people are giving.
Yes.
They're writing checks. They're giving their money. They're, you know, we just paid off this big, beautiful campus. Millions of dollars, and we paid Christian. You know, I'm just saying, okay, so why are the atheists upset? Feeding people, you know, care and cheer showing up. We're feeding the community. We're doing this. Why are you upset? That's a good thing. Why would you be upset with that? Because, people, there's a spirit. The spirit of the liar hates the spirit of the truth. Okay, that's why. Because I'm like, why would you be upset with something that is good for humanity? Mm-hmm. It's good for the community. So why are you so angry? Because it's hard to kick against the pricks.
Yes.
They're kicking against the pricks. Because the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth.
Hallelujah.
And again, I'm not boasting on Christians. I'm talking about the power of God in human life. And what it does when Jesus comes into our lives.
Amen.
We change the world.
Amen.
So in summary, truth follows through. It keeps its promises. Sacrifice endures. And it sets us free. So that's just the segment on truth, folks. That's just the truth segment. Now, finally, we're going to do the life. And I'm going to give you guys comments because I can tell y'all busting at the seams. So as we go into the life, the core definition of life is that it grows, responds, and reproduces. If you're going to define life, life grows, it responds, it reproduces. Life changes. In contrast, death decays, is unresponsive or does nothing, it reduces or takes away stuff, and is barren. That is the definition of death versus life. Even when the enemy gives you the illusion of growth, it will only appear for a moment and then it will collapse. We've seen it over and over again. You have the illusion of growth. Oh, look at me, look at me, look what I have. And then the next day they're gone. You know, because it's just an illusion. The Greek language employs two words for life, zoe and bios, from which we derive the words zoology and biology respectively. Bios refers to a man's actual existence. All life on earth share this distinction. Bios just defines physical life, the actual existence of human beings and animals and everything else. Zoe, on the other hand, refers to man's purpose and destiny as it is used in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This distinction of life is for man only. God invites humankind to a higher level of life beyond the physical through his Son who gives purpose and destiny. So there's a difference between bios life and zoe life. One has to do with just existing, and the other has to do with purpose. And so when Jesus was talking in John, He was talking about purpose that he was giving to mankind. And the interesting thing is because bios and zoe life coexist together within your body. You have both coexisting. But bios life, the clock is ticking on bios life. The clock is tick, tick, ticking. Therefore, the purpose, zoe life, has got to do what it needs to do within the bios life. Do you understand? One is keeping the clock. And the other one is holding the purpose. And that's what you are as a human being. Everyone, everyone, as we go back to Charles Spurgeon's quote, has meaning before God, has purpose before God. For humans to live on earth without Zoe reduces their life to the level of animals.
Yes.
Let me read that again. For humans to live on earth without Zoe reduces their life to the level of animals. No higher purpose and no destiny. Just existing for a time and then dying. Note the words of William Shakespeare. He said, "This life, which has been the tomb of his virtue and of his honor, is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." The words of William Shakespeare. I believe it's from Hamlet. But just talking about a life that just is strutting, doing all this stuff, all this sound, all this fury, all this activity, all this stuff. And then in the end, it signifies nothing. How sad it is to come to the end of your life and not see Zoe. No purpose. I just strutted across the stage. And it meant nothing. This is the description of life without Christ. And this is the hard question. Is this your life, that it signifies nothing? You have to answer that. You and your Lord have got to answer that. Because even after we come into Christ, we can still park. You can park on that cross. That cross that we show in the picture. You can park on the cross. Be sitting right there and not moving, not listening to the purpose of God, not following through what he told us to do, listening to the liar and the spirit of fear.
Yes.
Those two together, man, I'm telling you, you want to get paralyzed, start listening to the liar all the time and the spirit of fear, and you will do nothing. You will sit there paralyzed, which is what the enemy wants. Christ brings your life eternal purpose. So it's not just for now. See, when you live your life, when you carry out his purposes on the earth, it's not just about you. It's about all those other souls that are coming because they see you. It could just be a little thing. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Yeah, because we're going to talk about just purpose and what purpose can look like. The next point says, Jesus brought life to both the temporal, our bodies, that's the bios life, and the eternal parts of us, our souls and spirits, that's the zoe. When our souls were reunited with God through Christ, our souls become alive again. This occurred as our spirit was filled with his life-giving spirit. And we again had purpose. Don't you know when you accepted him? Oh man, again, Zoe came in. This verse in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Zoe life came in. When you accepted him and purpose came into you. Now you have something that you are assigned to do. And only he knows how all the puzzle pieces are going to fix together. All you have to worry about is your little puzzle piece. That's all I got to worry about is my little puzzle piece. Okay? I don't have to have Rose's puzzle. I don't have to worry about Virginia's puzzle piece and Sam's puzzle piece. I can just, all I have to worry about Karen's puzzle piece. Karen, here's your puzzle piece. It's all going to fit together one day. Life feeds and nurtures so that the world can grow, thrive, and reproduce. Let me read that again. Life feeds and nurtures so that the world can grow, thrive, and reproduce. Life brings protection and safety. Life is eternal, both spiritually and physically, as it goes on from generation to generation. The only reason why you're here is because of life. Even physically. You're here because generation to generation to generation. That's why you're sitting here today in 2017. Life breaks through barriers and unifies. Christ is the life. The scripture says whoever has the Son has life or purpose or Zoe or a reason for being here. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. That's from 1 John 5:12. Whoever has a Son has purpose, has Zoe. But if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. That's what that scripture means. Because you're like, well, gee, I see all these people running around. They don't know Jesus, and they have life. They have bios life. Gotcha. But they don't have the Zoe life. When you finally understand your life in light of purpose, it changes everything. When you understand purpose, our dear Miles Monroe that's gone on to be with Jesus, man, he spent a lot of his ministry just teaching on purpose, the power of purpose, understanding purpose. Got several of his books that was really just feeds you so well in understanding purpose. You're more focused. When you understand purpose, you're more focused. You're more excellent in your work. You're more consistent in your prayers. And you stay connected with the life giver. In fact, that staying connected with the life giver becomes paramount to you when you have purpose, because you've got to get your marching orders for the day. Your purpose for the day. When you have Zoe life, you reproduce. That's a big part of Zoe life, is that you reproduce, sometimes through your own children and sometimes through spiritual orphans. There's a lot of spiritual orphans. Because even bios life can let you down so that your bios can't reproduce for whatever reason. But I'm telling you, Zoe life will always be reproducing. I'm telling you. You know, some of us got some spiritual orphans that we're pouring into. Yeah. People that we have taken and we have blessed and we have just taken them in. Yes. That's your reproducing Zoe life into them. And you see them rise up and do great things. Oh, hallelujah. You can be proud, like a proud mama, a proud daddy. Because I poured into that one. I poured into that one. That's your reproducing. Zoe life reproducing. I'm almost done. I'm gonna let y'all talk. Cause I know she's about to bust.
I just ask a question about the Zoe. And there's an opposite of Zoe. Like, I mean, people have different destiny. A Zoe, the opposite.
Yes, that's what I'm. That's what I'm.
We want Zoe the right way, but then people have a different destiny in their life, the wrong way. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, it depends on where that destiny is coming from. I'm talking specifically about that Zoe, that destiny that comes from our Lord, and it's always a good thing. It's always a good thing. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans for good and not evil, to give you a hope and to give you a future. So Zoe is always that reproduces. Your purpose, and I'm just going to read this last point, and I'm going to let you guys make some comments. Your purpose can be to lead a nation or to raise a child, to feed the hungry, to take care of the sick or disabled, to teach the unknowledgeable, and only the life can give you Zoe. Only Jesus can give you Zoe. I was thinking about, and it's so funny that Matthew just walked in, because he taught me something. You know, because, you know, I have a son with a disability, with autism, and I'm, you know, sometimes I look at all these children that I work with every day, and some people would look at them and say, well, where is their Zoe? Where is their purpose? I'm telling you, this child ministered to me. This child brought purpose and Zoe in my life like nothing else that I've ever experienced. I thought I was there for him, but he has been there for me. I may have brought Bios into his life, but he brought Zoe into my life. He showed me purpose. I'm so amazed at all the things, you know, and at our center, it's just so amazing at our center. I've heard this more than one time. Staff that come in and they're dragging. They come in dragging. Whatever happened in their household, I don't know, but they come in dragging. They say, but I come in here and I start working with these kids. And suddenly I'm changed and I'm different, you know, because something is coming from these children. They don't even, they have a ministry. They have a purpose, you know. And sometimes I think, I don't know if you asked Matthew before he came to the earth, would you be Karen Colvin's son and would you have a disability so you can help her? Because she needs help. You know, she's selfish and she's this and she needs some help. So would you? Oh, yes, I'll be that. That'll be my purpose. That's my purpose. I'm just going to go down there and I'm just going to whip her into shape, man. Because I'm looking at that and sometimes we don't understand. You got to understand purpose. Everybody, as Charles Spurgeon was saying, everybody has purpose. You look at people that are disabled, I'm telling you. Those folks got a ministry. They got a ministry. They will teach you patience. Yes. They will teach you servanthood. Yes. They will teach you unconditional love. They will teach you endurance. I'm telling you, I learned that from that guy here. That right there taught me with my agenda and my things that I needed to get done. Purpose, folks, purpose. Don't think you don't have purpose. Don't think I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that. You have a purpose. And if you connect with God, because many times with my son, I had to pray. He had me praying. The brother had me praying. The brother had me on my face, Joey, crying. But with it, Zoe came. Life came. And now I can encourage so many other moms and dads. So many others. And it wasn't even about the disability. It was about them coming to Jesus. Amen. Coming to Zoe. That's what it was about all along. He said, I'm going to go this path, but come along. Okay, I'm going to let Rose talk. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it one more time. I could not say wait one more time.
I know. Jesus.
Hallelujah. Really?
Oh,
wow. You know what? You know what, Cheryl? I believe he sees them. I do. Some of his behavior, I'm like, what are you looking at? Yes. And maybe you needed to hear it.
I did hear that.
Wow. In so many ways, in so many ways. Cheryl works with us at the center, boy. Yeah.
Anyway, I know Zoe is peace, shalom, life of God, you know, but I'm saying it is, we have a purpose that God gave us. And there's other people who's like Thomas, that their purpose is to destruct, to, you know, corrupt. And for some reason, that's their purpose. And I'm just like, you know, there's no like on that type of purpose in their destiny. Mm-hmm. And all these people that don't even know what's going on now. Mm-hmm. It's just people has a blind eyes and they don't see the truth, you know? And it just irritates me sometimes. I say, Lord, I just repent right now, you know, give me peace. You know, because I just
gotta stay in the way. Yeah,
does not know the truth of the love of God, and what they're doing is all destruction, destruction and corruption and all this stuff. And it just, you know, we just have to stand firm in the Word of God.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I know the hardest part is
always a life.
And you know, and that may be their purpose in the enemy. But their purpose in God is what they've missed.
Exactly.
Totally.
Exactly.
Their purpose. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because they don't believe in,
yes.
You know,
amen.
God, you know?
Amen.
I still find it so interesting before I come here. I really do. It blows me away.
Because God was ministering this to you already.
Yes. Everything you were saying this morning, I got it. I was in the Word this morning getting exactly what you were praying and talking about today.
Wow.
And I said to God, I said, I remember, Lord, when I was living in sin, I was in darkness. I realized I was separated from you.
Mm-hmm.
So the people out there that's still in sin is separated from you, God. They'll never see this until they accept Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
until they turn their heart over to Jesus and accept Jesus Christ to come out of it. So like you're saying, they're not going to see this.
Mm-hmm.
What brought this out in me is what I'm seeing going on. It's been there all the time, going on in the world right now, what we're seeing going on, all this stuff going on now. I said, wow, I was out there, wasn't I? I was blind. I was blind in darkness, and plus I was separated from you.
Yes.
But you already knew that someday I will come to you and finally open up my heart to see what you're talking about through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. You were just reminding me of Saul.
Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus on his horse, just going.
Exactly.
Just going. And what's interesting about that time is that the Church of Jesus Christ was just getting started.
Yeah.
So it was kind of in a vulnerable state at that point. And so Jesus was not going to let this man just come. You know, Jesus will look out for his people.
Yeah.
You know, if I have to knock you off a horse and blind you because you're messing with my people and what they need to accomplish on the earth, then God will do it. And then he had a choice.
Yes.
He had a choice. Either you can come my way or you can keep going with your soldiers. Well, you can't do anything now because you're blind. You know, you can make a choice to reject him or accept him.
Amen.
I don't know if you know this, but in 1977, I was literally knocked off a horse. And that horse, she lost her footing. I fell off, and she caught this side of me, on my right side. I praise God today that I'm sitting here, because I could have an eighth of an inch more, and I'd have been in a wheelchair. Mm. That was in 1977. I knew bio life.
Wow.
I didn't know Zoe life till in 1982, Karen.
Wow.
5 years, he showed me different things that I couldn't see in the bio life
mm-hmm.
because of the condition of my heart and the darkness that I was in.
Yes.
Till he brought me in 1982, humbled me, threw me on my face, crawled to the altar, and that's where I met Jesus.
Wow.
So talk about a Zoe life and a Bible life. There ain't no comparison.
Yes.
And only a person. And then I remember after I got saved, my brother-in-law had just lost a 15-year-old son to suicide after I got saved. I talked to that man for till 3 o'clock in the morning, the love and the things of God. I gave him this scripture, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Next morning, he got up and he said, you know what, Virginia? I could not sleep. That scripture kept irking me, irking me. I could not sleep.
Truth.
Today, today that man is serving the Lord for, well, probably as long as I have. He's serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to make into the pearly gates. Not because of me.
Because
it was
word.
Because of the word and the power that it has through the Spirit that
That's
you
right.
speak. Once you speak it, God will use them words and he'll take you or somebody
you
else into the pearly gates. But knocked off a horse? Literally, yeah. That was me. But I just thank the Lord today that I'm walking and I know the Zoe life.
Yes. I tell you, so Saul and Virginia. Knocked off the horse.
I just wanted to talk about the way, the Jesus being the way, because some people will come and say, well, he's the way for you. but this is my way. On Facebook the other day, a little middle school girl who is my cousin's daughter had a post where the Pope was washing the feet of Muslims, saying that they were our brothers and sisters. And I posted on her post, you know, that, oh, they would beg to differ with you, because the Muslims say that Jesus would never have a son. I mean, that God would never have a son. Allah would say that God would never have a son, so they would beg to differ with you. And she responded, well, you know, Jesus might be the way for you, but for me, it's Islam. Oh, yeah. So how do you argue with these people who think there's one way for you and there's another way for me? But why would God be so cruel to crucify Jesus on a cross if there was another way?
And again, it's just a matter of not understanding. And all you can do, and I don't think it is a point to argue. It's a point to live before people and show them that Zoe is real. Jesus is real. That the life, the new life in you is real. You know, because there have been countless arguments. I mean, we have argued it to exhaustion. So we don't need to argue the point anymore. It's about living it before them, because the truth will always come shining through. It will always rise. It will always rise. So, you know, and as I said, you know, as we talked about the logic of the situation, you know, and saving humanity, you know, so.
You were saying, Karen, that God gave your son a purpose.
Yeah.
And that he asked him if he would come and help straighten you out.
Yeah.
And I believe that's true, because my son used to tell me from when he was a little boy, Mama, God showed me all the women in the world. And he said, you can pick which one you want for to be your mother. He says, and I spotted all the beautiful women in all the world. He said, and I spotted you right there. And I said, that one. I pointed to her and I said, that one. I want that one.
Wow.
And so I believe that God asked.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wonder. I said, geez, boy, because he's just done so much for me to just change me. Anybody else before we dismiss? We're about out of time, and Matt has left the room, so I need to go find what he's doing.
I just want to say real quick that, you know, the lie that began in the beginning of time, and then in my study Bible, I was trying to find it in my Amplified, but I couldn't find it exactly in the study Bible. In Revelations, it talks about the lie, and the Lord is very specific about lying, lying, because that's what brought the world down in the beginning. And so we need to watch our words very carefully.
Yeah, we have to watch our words. I mean, some people are out there picking a fight. So all you have to do is live it. Just live it. Just live it. The truth will come shining through, you know. Yes, yes. And if he does want you to speak, he'll give you the words at the right time.
Yes.
But many more times than not, he said, don't get caught up in a foolish argument. Just let it go, you know, and live it before, you know. You need. Let's just pray. Probably does. Let's pray, because I know we got to go. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for, Lord, our Sunday school lesson, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for being the way, the truth, and the life in our lives, Lord God. Father, again, I pray that we would take it in, we would digest it, we would become more and more like your children should be, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.